Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Just before the break, the brother asked a question about a scenario that takes place a lot. And then dispute happens after the death of the father. The eldest son, who's rich, gives the father money. And then after the father dies, he claims the money. The siblings say that, no, you have no right in that money. He either gave it to his father as charity, as being a good son, as a gift. In this case, he has no right in that money. Or he gave his father this money as a loan, and he told his father, I'm lending you, and the father said, yes, I will repay you. So after the death, it's his right to take what he gave as a loan. So if he gave a million, takes a million. If he gave one, he takes one. Thirdly, which is the third possibility, is that he said to his father, I'll give you the million, but it is my share in your business. So it was an investment. This means that if their father also put another million, so this 50-50, and they agreed upon this, if the fortune came and was inflated into 100 million, after the father's death, the son who invested the million is entitled for 50 million. But he has to prove that he had either given it as a loan or as a partnership. And this is his right. This is his God-given right. But a lot of us send to their parents, for example, if they work overseas, they send to the father money every month. And the father builds a house, a big house, and the family lives in it. And then he expands, and I'm giving money. Now you have to be clear. The money you're giving every month, is it a loan? 99% would say no. But after the father dies, then greed comes up. Yes, but what? 6 years or 10 years I've been paying so much money. The house is mine, or half of it. Now, you have no right in it, and you have to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Moving on to the following hadith, hadith number 376. We want someone that did not read. Yes.
Narrated An-Numan bin Bashir, I heard Allah's Prophet saying, halal is evident and haram is evident. Between them, there are dubious things that most of the people have no knowledge about. So whoever protects himself from these dubious things, save his religion and his reputation. And whosoever falls in these dubious things, he has fallen into haram. Similar to a shepherd who grazes his animals near the hima, private pasture of someone else, and at any moment he is liable to get in it. Every king has a hima, and the hima of Allah on the earth is his illegal forbidden thing. There is a piece of flesh in the body. If it comes good, the whole body becomes good. But if it gets corrupt, the whole body gets spoiled, and that is the heart.
Okay, now this chapter we're dealing with, this is the first hadith in the chapter. The chapter that deals with food and beverages. So this is suitable for hotels. But the chapter in Arabic is called Al-At'ima, types of foods. But we will also talk about beverages and what is lawful and what's not. The hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, may Allah be pleased with him, and with his father, as stated before, this hadith is one of three hadiths that Islam revolves around. And it is a great hadith. It would take us lectures, literally, just to go through the benefits we can learn from that. And Allah Azza wa Jal favored me and blessed me to go through Al-Arba'een Al-Nawawiyyah. And inshallah, we will hope to see it on Peace TV. The Arba'een Nawawiyyah deals with the more important hadiths that are selected from different books of fiqh and aqeedah, etc. Umdat al-Ahkam is focused on what? On rulings, on halal, haram, on purity, on transactions. Arba'een Nawawiyyah is a little bit more general, not so specific in fiqh. So, inshallah, I would not go into details with this hadith because, as stated before, it has a lot to go through. Yet, the principle is halal is clear, haram is clear. Between them, there are doubtful matters, dubious matters. So, when we come to halal, there are things that every single human being knows that it is halal. For example, what's your ruling on drinking water? What's your ruling on eating an apple, an orange? What's your ruling on standing up or walking or sitting? Everybody knows that this is halal. So when we say, what's the ruling on drinking wine? What's the ruling on eating pork? What's the ruling on backbiting or looking at women or free mixing? Every Muslim knows that this is haram. So these are so clear, you don't have to know rocket science to know it. Now, there are in between things that are dubious. They are doubtful. However, the Prophet told us, alayhi salam, that the majority of people do not know the rulings, which leaves a small minority that knows the ruling. Because Allah did not leave us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, blind. He gave us the evidences, but maybe sometimes we're not all able to find and obtain the rulings. Yet there are minority scholars who Allah Azza wa Jal guides them and shows them the way. Okay, for the general masses, what to do? Well, if you're doubtful, refrain. Stay away. Why? Because if you are close in falling into these doubtful matters and you start diving, eventually you will fall into haram. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you notice, always protects the deen. For example, prayer. How many prayers do we pray a day? 5. This is the mandatory obligatory prayers. Yet there are sunnahs before, or sometimes sunnahs after, and there are encouragement to go to the masjid before the adhan. There is an encouragement to be in the first row. There is an encouragement to attain the first takbir with the imam. All of these are fences. And why do we say fences? Because if a person does all of this, do you think he would ever miss a salah? Never. Someone who is every single day in the masjid before the adhan and always observing the nawafil, the 12 rak'ahs, always in the first row, wallahi, he will never ever get the feeling that, oh, today I'm not feeling like going to dhuhr prayer. I'm going to skip dhuhr prayer. I'm going to pray at home. Never. But once he starts to compromise, he gets closer. So if he doesn't pray that rawatib, the sunan, and he doesn't go for the first row, and he doesn't go before the adhan, he only goes when the iqama is due, this man usually loses the first takbir with the imam. Sometimes he loses the first rak'ah. It's okay, he's praying the masjid. Sometimes he loses 3 rak'ahs. Sometimes he only attains the tashahud with the imam. Sometimes he misses a prayer, but he prays a second jama'ah or a third jama'ah. Do you think that this person would miss a prayer one day? Yes. One day, the iqama is done. Oh, I don't have time. If I go, I will be in the last rak'ah. Maybe the salah is over. I'm going to pray home. Now, the same applies with halal and haram. There, sometimes you have to put fences to make sure that you do not fall in haram. And that is the difference between al-wara' and al-zuhd. And al-wara', which is fearing Allah Azza wa Jal and being protective, is leaving whatever you fear that you will be punished for in the hereafter. Zuhd is higher. It is leaving what does not benefit you in the hereafter. You're not going to be punished, but there's no benefit. So zuhd deals with halal things, with things that might be permissible, but you leave them because they're not beneficial. While wara' is leaving sinful things and refraining from doing haram, but not necessarily leaving halal. So the hadith is suitable when it comes to foods and beverages. What to eat, what not to eat? It's halal. We know what to eat. What not to eat? Haram. We know what not to eat. Now, if there is doubt in your mind, do I eat or shouldn't I eat? In this case, the hadith tells you, refrain. A lot of the brothers travel to China or to Korea, and they say that they are not people of the book, they're not Christians, and the food they bring, we don't know if it's halal or haram. What's the best thing to do? Refrain. Because they are not people of the book, and you have doubts. So refrain. Said, I'm hungry, I'd like to eat meat. Yahi, eat vegetables. Eat only veg food. Said, I'm bored, I want eat fish. Eat seafood. Halal is so many. No, I want the meat, this meat. In this case, no, stay away. Because you're not sure, you're not confident, stay away from it. If you have a question or two.
Sheikh, as in the previous episode, we saw about the judging. Okay, like there are certain people who take the law in the hand, like the people who have certain skills, you know, so they want to support their community, in short. So can they do it? Like we have the names like Robin Hood, something.
Robin Hood.
He was a person who was helping the poor guys. Means the kings who were...
Robin Hood.
Yeah, Robin.
No. This is unacceptable at all. Being a vigilante, doing something against the law, even to enforce what you think is righteous and good, this is not acceptable because you live in a community. Either you're living in a non-Muslim country and you're there, you have to abide by their laws, as long as it doesn't go against Islam. But if you see that there is injustice, taking the law into your own hand is your own observation. You're not a prophet or a messenger. Even the Prophet himself, alayhi salam, did not take matters except through the Quran and the Sunnah. So for every one of us, I think that, yes, this is right. You think this is wrong. He thinks that we're both wrong. So you get a confusion. If everyone takes the law into their own hands, we will be living in a jungle. And this is not applicable. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.